Before we get started, a special thank you is in order to our friends over at Stanley Customs. Stanley Customs creates amazing custom sports figurines for all you athletes out there. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off their order, and all interviewees will get 25% off their order simply by going to Stanley_Customs on Instagram and telling them that Globally Ballin sent you. Thank you. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Globally Ballin podcast, a product of the Globally Ballin podcast network. We have a fantastic interview for you today, so sit back and enjoy, and thank you all for joining us one more time. Here's the music. I gotta let you go. Finish the game with a broken hand.
Yeah, finish the game with...
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
Young man, how do you use a celebrity for good? You know, up until that point, most of us as athletes were taught on it, use the celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
We're hours away from kind of the nearest hospital. He ended up losing his leg over.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, "Jay, get me out."
At the same time, there are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey, my last season.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome back once again. Thank you for sticking around. We have been doing a lot of projects that you haven't seen the end results of. And you won't for a bit yet. That has kind of messed with our schedule. So because of that, make sure you subscribe so that anytime there may be a hiccup in the schedule, you get it later when the episode is ready. We do our best to stick to that schedule. But like I said, we have some projects we are working on with teams and leagues that have kept us kind of on a very weird, busy schedule. So if you haven't done it already, make sure you subscribe so that you get the update and you know when our next episode's ready, so there's no confusion. But that being said, we are going to continue to always shoot for that Wednesday. So for today's episode, we have Daniel Green. Daniel Green is an agent, a basketball agent. We haven't done basketball agent since Jeremiah way back. I think it was episode 3 or 2. Either way, way in the very beginning. And if you haven't, go ahead and listen to that one. That was a great one. Jeremiah had some amazing stories, some scary stories, and but some good stories and awesome advice for any of you guys that are playing out there and might be looking for an agent or have no idea how to go about that. That's a great one. This is also going to be a really good one. This is with Daniel Green. Like I said, he is a basketball agent, and he has also just recently been declared the head of a new program starting with TBL. You've heard me talk about TBL a lot. It's kind of been one of our pet projects, essentially. We focus on a lot of different leagues and teams and players all around the world, but some of them strike our attention a little bit more, and some of them communicate better with us, and some of them just reel us in a little bit more. And if you've been following the podcast for a while, you know TBL has been one of them. And so it's no surprise that our guest today has some sort of a connection, although he does have outside stories as well. So if you're sick of hearing about TBL, this guy's actually going to be still very, very valuable to you. But his connection with TBL, he's going to describe it more. But he has been named kind of the head of their new project, which is an agency within the league. The majority of players that come into the league do not have agents, and since the league states that their goal is to get people on, they're a showcase league. They call themselves a showcase league. Their goal is to get people on to bigger and better things. It makes sense that since many of their players don't have agents, they start their own agency to help connect players within the league move on. It seems like a great idea, and so it was only fitting that we'd have Daniel Green on here to talk about it and tell about his role and what this is going to look like and why this is needed, as well as his other just professional insight for any of you that are looking to play basketball or do play basketball. Maybe you're looking for an agent, looking for a new agent, or have no idea how this works. He's going to give you some great insight on that. That being said, thank you to our guest, and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, this episode is brought to you by an additional sponsor. We are now also brought to you by Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Louisville, Texas, right outside of Dallas. You may remember we've had an episode in the past with the founders of Creating Young Minds, Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to help young men achieve success in their life where they may not have otherwise achieved that success. One way they do this is through their new basketball team. The Louisville Yellow Jackets, affiliated with Creating Young Minds, play in TBL, the basketball league, and through a combination of their nonprofit as well as their basketball team, Creating Young Minds and the Louisville Yellow Jackets are doing their best to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. That is Creating Young Minds. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, basically everywhere. Find Creating Young Minds, check them out, see what they're all about. And when the TBL league rolls around once again, keep an eye out for the Louisville Yellow Jackets. Thank you.
Hello. Hey, Daniel, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing all right. So, kind of just to start off, what we have done, I don't know if you took a look at what we've done in the past or not, but what we've done is we do interviews with players, coaches, team owners, and even league owners, and just kind of talk about opportunities to play sports around the world. Really, our only rule is we stay away from the big five, with, you know, MLB, NFL, MLS, all that stuff. Other than that, really no rules. We're talking about anything and everything because we feel that there's a lot of misknowledge and people don't necessarily know their opportunities. So to start off, let's just have you introduce who you are and what you do.
Okay. My name is Danny Green. I am the founder and CEO of Green Sports Management. Been in the industry for about 14 years in various capacities. You know, sports management entails a lot. I have some experience working on the team side with a few NBA franchises. Worked with some very notable players from a business management standpoint. And have my own sports agency where we represent 31 guys, both domestically and also internationally. Guys placed in, you know, five different continents around the world. We have guys placed in Asia, Europe, some in South America, obviously the NBA G League, the TBL, as well as Canada, and Australia too. So yeah, that's a little bit about me and my agency.
So one thing we started with is we've had a close connection with Philippine fans for a while just because of my personal connection there. Have you had anybody over there recently or anybody there now?
Yeah, no, I haven't had any players in the Philippines per se, but we do have players playing in the ABL, which is Asian Basketball League. We have a player that's playing currently with the Saigon Heat in Vietnam.
Oh, cool. Okay, so that region at least.
Correct. Yep.
Okay, so before we get to your new work with TBL or current work with TBL, let's get a little bit of your, I know you just kind of said who you are, but a little bit more about, you know, your experience as an agent.
So kind of my trajectory to becoming an agency, to becoming an agent and also owning my, you know, own agency, you know, has been a journey. So I played Division I basketball at Colgate University. Once I finished up at Colgate, I knew that if I didn't play professionally, I wanted to work on the business side of sports. So naturally, the first opportunity I was presented with and, you know, kind of reached out was, you know, working for an agent. That agent, you know, currently has a great independent business right now. But at that time, they were going through a merger with CAA, actually. That was the first year that CAA actually bought on a basketball division. So got some really high level experience, you know, right out the gate of, you know, finishing up at Colgate. I don't know if you know, but CAA prior to that, they were primarily a talent agency just working with entertainers. And that first year when they bought in the basketball division, that was the first year that they actually started representing athletes. And obviously everyone knows where CAA now is as far as representation. So got some great experience there. That led to an opportunity to work with first round ninth pick of the 2007 draft, where I worked exclusively as his business manager. Now I found a niche, you know, in terms of, you know, starting my own company alongside this player that I was working with from a business management standpoint. So that birthed my agency at the time. It was just a consulting agency, not a full-blown sports agency, but that consulting agency assisted players with everything from financial management to marketing and branding to player development, in-season, out-of-season training, and also, you know, being the liaison between him and his agent during that time. I used that opportunity to start to work with some other players as well in similar capacities. Long story short, you know, just through networking and being in the industry, I was afforded the opportunity to work in the front office of the Miami Heat from a marketing and sales perspective. Now, I still maintained my consulting agency, but wasn't able to focus on it full time because I had this front office position with the Heat. It was kind of a dream job, and I was also able to diversify my skill set because prior to that job with the Heat, I only worked directly with players rather than working on the team side. So got to see that side of the business as well. Shortly thereafter, was afforded the opportunity to go back home to my hometown team and work with the Brooklyn Nets in their front office from the standpoint of global partnerships. As I said before, still maintain my consulting agency, but then once I left Brooklyn and I decided to become fully licensed with NBA, fully licensed with FIBA, and like I said, we currently have 31 players that we represent on five different continents around the world. Long-winded answer to
no, that's a good
to
one.
Your question, but that's kind of what my journey has looked like. And all through my experience, I've been able to really cultivate and create a business that touches on everything that I've done throughout my career, and not only from the team perspective and knowing how to negotiate and speak with teams and front offices, but also on the player perspective and just really being there from the day-to-day perspective from a business management capacity and knowing kind of what players look for when hiring an agent, what players are kind of really going through on a day-to-day aspect of being a professional. So that really has helped me have a successful agency up until this point. What has transpired with the TBL, and I don't know if this is going to be a later question, but was able to network efficiently, and Mr. Magley, David Magley, the president of the TBL, they have this unique and innovative concept to start the TBL agency, and he reached out and asked my thoughts on if that would be something that they would be that my agency and myself would like to be a part of. I gladly accepted, and kind of what my role with the TBL agency is, I am the VP of player representation, and my agency, Green Sports Management, is the agency of record for TBL player placement. So what we do is, as the TBL is a professional league, probably the third best, is the third best, I feel, professional league, in the U.S. outside of obviously the NBA and the G League. I would say TBL is where you're going to get the most notoriety and exposure to kind of build your profile, build your resume. If you haven't had the opportunity to play, internationally or, at the NBA or G League level, a lot of players that come through the TBL, they, sometimes have gaps in their resumes for whatever reasons, and it gives them an opportunity to kind of rebuild that resume, really get some notoriety, really get some exposure, really get some good content, some good film, some good stats where they can potentially market themselves for higher paying jobs internationally, and really play at the highest level that their skill set is able to afford them to play at. So I take great pride in working with players like that. A lot of players that we represent in my agency come from similar situations, and we've had some great success with them. So I'm hoping to accomplish the same thing with the 144 players that the TBL currently has.
So stepping back for a second, we have, when I first started in, I said all the time in the episodes that I really don't know anything. And that's why I have a guest every week, is because I just let you guys talk to me and I learn stuff that way. That's how I learn. And so, in the beginning, I just kind of figured everybody's road with an agent was the same. You got contacted at basically the same time, and then you were with that agent, and that's how things rolled. And then, but as things went on, we started running into people who don't have agents or got contacted in really weird ways. There was one of our episodes going back, Patricia Bright said she's a female college basketball player, and she went to her coach one day. She's like, I'm getting all these weird Facebook messages about, you know, playing overseas. And her coach is like, those are real agents. Like, talk to them. And, you know, one of our more recent episodes, too, is a guy who's playing in Luxembourg who doesn't have one. And he hasn't had one for a couple of years now. And he does it all on his own. And it's just, it's an interesting, different dynamic that we learned about. And that brings in TBL as well, who traditionally, nobody in that league has an agent. So how does an agent look at, like, a player who goes without playing with an agent? Is this something you wouldn't suggest to other players? Or when you look at a league that's made up of players that before this little merger thing with TBL didn't have any agents, is that something you would kind of maybe talk with your agent buddies going, this isn't a good idea, you need an agent in this kind of market, in this kind of league?
Gotcha. Okay, yeah, no, absolutely. I would recommend, if you're looking to play, you know, at the highest level that your talents are going to take you, I think it is definitely a necessity to have an agent. And it's not just about having any agent, it's about having the right agent. You know, some agents specialize in working primarily with, you know, NBA players. Some agents specialize in working with both NBA and international players. Some players just focus on international players. So it's just about, it's a matter of finding the right agent and the right need for your fit. You know, some boutique agencies may be a better fit for you rather than going to a large agency. So that's all things that we talk through our clients. And the first two things that we ask them is, what are their expectations for their career? And also, what are the expectations for me as a representative for them? To really flesh out and see if it would be a good fit, mutually beneficial for both me and the client. So, yeah, to answer your question, I would definitely recommend, because it's tough to navigate, you know, the waters in terms of, you know, kind of what opportunities are out there for first year players, second year players, veteran players, you know, what countries, what markets make sense, you know, what areas and what teams, you know, would be a good fit for them and their skill set so that they have a successful career. Players are, you know, not, they're extremely talented in terms of being, you know, great professional athletes and players and with great athletic ability. But, you know, when it comes to really relying on someone with professional expertise, I think that's where your representation needs to come into play, so you can focus solely on being the best player that you potentially can be, rather than trying to negotiate contracts or figure out, you know, which job is better for you than others, when there's someone that does this, you know, every single day, 24/7, that can have that expertise and kind of guide you on what you need to be doing as a professional athlete and for your career.
As an agent, what are some of the key attributes you would suggest to any athlete when they're looking for an agent? Is it a special degree? Is it the fact that you can meet them in person? Because we've talked with plenty of athletes who have never been able to really meet their agent, or any situation like that. Any attributes, key attributes that you would suggest to an athlete that they should make sure their potential future agent has?
Absolutely. You know, first things first, and I think this is true of anyone that you have a business working relationship with, you know, definitely check, you know, check on their resume, their credibility, and their character. I think those three things are extremely important for, you know, because this is someone that you're trusting and relying on to kind of guide you in your career for however long that may be. It could be, you know, 5 years, it could be 10 years, it could be, you know, 15, 20 years. So you definitely want to make sure that you're working with someone that's credible, you know, maintains a high level of integrity and has great character. So, and vice versa, as an agent, that's also the type of players sure. That we look for to represent as well. Outside of that, you know, there's a lot of people that say they're agents or, you know, are in the field of scouting or whatever the case may be. But if you're looking for, you know, recognition as a player in regards to your representation, making sure that they're, you know, FIBA certified and or NBA certified to be able to represent you. I think because both FIBA and also the NBA helps with that, you know, kind of character background, because, you know, you need to pass an extensive background check to make sure that you are, you know, credible enough to be an agent. So I think that those things that I mentioned would be the things that I would recommend looking for when hiring representation. In terms of, you know, meeting an agent face to face, yes, that is important, because, you know, obviously, you know, you could definitely, you know, get a good feel for who you'll be working with, but I don't think it's a deal breaker in terms of, you know, creating a relationship with an agent. You know, there's so many different ways to communicate, you know, in 2020, you know, whether it's through FaceTime, whether it's through, you know, WhatsApp, whatever the case may be, you know, Facebook Messenger, so on and so forth. So there's definitely multiple modes of communication that you can definitely vet and get a good feel for who it is that you'll be working with.
So obviously you, with the experience and players that have played for a long time, kind of get a feel for maybe some areas or some leagues that don't have a great score, if you will, for whatever issues, maybe lack of pay or certain things like that. But what have you seen as far as new players seeing with their own eyes for the first time that they weren't expecting? Maybe it's, you know, any sort of lifestyle change that they get when they go overseas, or pay that they were expecting something a little bit different, or something that you've noticed out of those players that when they get there, it's not what they were planning on.
Of course. It's definitely, especially for, I would answer this question. I think that this is more the culture shock of going to an entirely different, you know, atmosphere, country, culture, you know, especially as a rookie player, where, you know, you've probably never, you know, traveled outside of the country. That can be a culture shock in itself. Outside of that, you know, I think the biggest transition that, you know, first year players have is kind of adjusting and adapting to that. Also, now you're going from, you know, playing at in a structured university where, you know, you go to class, you go to practice, you watch film, you go to the weight room, you eat dinner, and then you go to sleep and go home. Now you change that entire structure, because now you're a pro. The only thing that you're responsible for is going to practice, going to games, and if a team does do film, and if a team does do workouts, you have that structure in place. Some teams, you know, practice 5 times a week. Other teams, you know, may practice twice a week and play once a week. So really figuring out how to be a pro is the biggest thing that I experience with, you know, first and second year players, outside of just the culture shock. So really keying in and honing in on, you know, what you can be doing to, you know, further your skill set and really adapt to being a professional athlete. You know, no one's telling you, you know, when to go to bed. No one's telling you when to go to class. No one's telling you when to wake up. You know, all those things you have to figure out on your own. And that can be an adjustment and a struggle for, you know, a 21, 22 year old athlete who's never, you know, potentially, you know, lived in a foreign country, let alone, you know, are living, you know, on their own and being paid to play professional basketball. In addition to that, you know, people don't really know the salaries that you can expect going into being a professional basketball player, and you kind of allude to that. So that can range, you know, depending on, you know, what country, what market you're in. There's a lot of factors that play into, you know, what players are making in that first and second year. I always tell my players, don't get hung up on what you'll be making your first or second year, just because, you know, that can escalate really quickly. Usually those first 2 years, these teams are making an investment, and they want to make sure, you know, they're making an investment that makes sense for them. So it's not going to be what you potentially feel you should be making, but if you do prove yourself in that first or second year, the rest of your career will take care of itself in terms of, you know, that pay and that salary escalating to where it needs to be.
One thing we've been asked several times by players is any insight on safety? Because, you know, like you said, culture shock is different, and one big change in culture is where you feel safe and not knowing your surroundings well enough to know where to feel safe and what to do to keep safe. What can you say to kind of speak on that as far as safety for going to play overseas?
Yeah, we do our best to kind of vet the countries, situations that our players are going to. We do, you know, extensive research and due diligence and make sure that, you know, these countries are, you know, safe and secure. And, you know, being that we've done this, we've been in the business for a number of years, you know, we kind of know which countries, you know, guys will have a good experience in, and what countries aren't as safe. So there's never any guarantee, obviously, as you know, anything can happen. You know, there can be turmoil, there can be, you know, turnover in any country, there can be, you know, things that happen. But, you know, what we try to do is try to vet those situations prior to, you know, heading abroad and making sure that we speak, you know, extensively with the GM, with the coach, and really get a good sense of, you know, kind of the landscape of the country that we're sending our players to.
Right. I do want to kind of bring it now to what has been going on in this development with the TBL. And so, I mean, you did talk about most of that, which is awesome. Let's reiterate again what exactly just happened. TBL is moving on to year 3, and they have made 2 big changes. One I'll talk on a different episode. But for this one, they have added agents, an agency essentially, and you're going to talk in more detail. But one other thing everybody should know is before that, they're essentially, most of the players had no agents. And so I'll stop there and kind of let you say what exactly happened.
Yeah, so what we found is that the TBL, like I mentioned before, has, you know, an immense amount of talent that's coming through that league. So, you know, there's 144 players that are playing in the league, you know, 12 players on average per team, with 12 teams. And, you know, most of them, you know, don't have representation. And those that do have representation, you know, the TBL agency is not taking anything away from that. But if we do source and find an opportunity, we would love to work alongside those players that already have representation and help place them and secure them a job so that they're playing at the highest level that their talents can take them. The players that don't have agents, you know, we work alongside those players and give them the exposure that they necessarily may not have gotten previously to being in the TBL and, you know, and also in previous years of not having representation in the TBL. So what we do is we treat those players in the same capacity that we treat our in-house players of Green Sports Management, being that we are the agency of record for the TBL, and I'm heading up the TBL agency as the VP of player representation. So we're making sure that we're giving these players, you know, maximum exposure, helping them through creating their player profiles, you know, cleaning up their resumes if there's any, you know, things that shouldn't be on there, making sure that, you know, all the databases that promote players, you know, especially Eurobasket, are up to date and, you know, have the current stats and current film that needs to be on there, and really promoting those players, you know, on a weekly basis and keeping teams informed around the world that may not have known about these players or where they're currently playing or what they're up to, and really trying to place them in situations that are good fits for them. So, you know, internally in our database, we have over, you know, 2,000 international teams that we have constant contact with, and, you know, we're pushing these player profiles and players to these leagues to really get them to where they need to be, which is playing at the highest level that their talents can take them. Assist in any way that we can with you know, the remaining players that are in the league, as well as the players that, you know, we're looking to work alongside their agents and push them to where they rightfully deserve to be.
All right, so I don't know how much you've seen the talent in the league. I don't know, have you been watching, or is it kind of just a whirlwind? Everything got started so fast. I don't know if you've had a chance to really watch. The season hasn't even started, so I don't know how familiar you are with the talent in the league right now.
Yes, we actually had one player playing in the TBL last season. He was actually on the championship team. His name is Jordan Robinson. Actually went to my alma mater, Colgate University, so very familiar with Jordan's game. Jordan, you know, is one of the players that, you know, has had great success in the TBL. You know, coming out of school, didn't have many offers to play professionally internationally, but great talent. You know, during the season was, you know, more so of a role player, you know, averaged about 9 points a game, but he really emerged in the finals and had a game where he had a breakout game of about 20 points, and I think game one of the finals, and then I think game three, the deciding closing game of that series, he had 25 points and was one of the best players in the TBL playoffs. So for Jordan, you know, seeing his development, seeing his growth, he's probably a player, and, you know, me, Mr. Magley and myself have spoke about Jordan. He could probably benefit from one more year of seasoning in the TBL before he goes on to, you know, play at a higher level internationally, and we're really excited about his progress and what he's done thus far. You know, coming out of college, like I said, didn't have that many offers to play professionally, but, you know, thankfully with the TBL, he still is able to pursue his dream as a professional athlete, and, you know, we're hoping that sky's the limit for him to go on to bigger and better things once his time in the TBL is over. Outside of Jordan, I know that there were some other players that, you know, had some great success in getting jobs in Canada and other leagues as well. So the talent pool is definitely there. I did follow it last season, and I'm excited to see, you know, where the talent level is at this season. I'm sure it'll be just as great as it was in years past.
So there was a player just recently has signed to go play in Mongolia before the season
even
started. Yep,
I did see that.
Yeah, and so, you know, for us listening, or for me and everybody else listening, there's so many leagues out around the world that it's so hard to understand, like, who's top. If you'd ask kind of a layman, they'd be like, well, EuroLeague in China, that's probably where they'd cut out, right? Yep. Essentially, that's probably where it would stop. Where do you think, again, you're kind of coming in early, or you haven't been around that long as far as TBL, where do you think this top talent right now could comfortably sit around the world if you had to give us a league?
That's a great question. I mean, in terms of, on average, I would say, you know, the TBL talent is a fairly young league. So like I mentioned, you know, Jordan Robinson, for example, you know, he's 2 years removed from college. So, you know, he's not as seasoned as a veteran, but that's probably what you would say is kind of the tier of talent and tier of player that is currently playing in the TBL. So probably I would say, you know, anywhere from some countries, you know, depending if you look at the higher level countries, when you're looking at Spain, Greece, Italy, France, Germany, probably falling around that, you know, probably second division in those countries. Wow. And in most countries, I would say first division players, you know, that are not that fall outside of those leagues. So if you're looking at second division talent, you know, that can escalate, like I said, pretty quickly, where you prove yourself for 1 or 2 years. Now you're falling into, you know, first division, you know, talent pools, and you're making a great career for yourself. Outside of that, like you said, you know, kind of the check down list of what, you know, the levels of play are, you know, Europe wise, you have EuroLeague, you have FIBA Euro Cup. You have EuroLeague, you have FIBA Euro Cup, and then after that you probably have Champions League, and then some of the other leagues that are out in Europe. But I definitely think that some of these players can't play at that, you know, Champions League level, eventually, if not first year, but probably second or third year with some seasoning. And like I said, second division in most countries and first divisions in the majority of countries outside of the, you know, top tier countries in Europe.
So when we look at leagues, and specifically in Asia, when they have the import rule and stuff like that, and some other leagues have that as well, obviously, but they'll take full advantage of bringing somebody in that's really big, just because of the size advantage. But from your perspective, do guards, small guys that are looking to get overseas, have anything to worry about as far as their opportunities compared to a big man on their team?
So I don't think they have anything to worry about. It's about always separating yourself. I always tell guards, the most important thing that teams look for internationally is efficiency. So, you know, I'm a huge proponent of, you know, the 50-40-90 rule. As close as you can get to that 50-40-90, when you are a guard or a small guard, and really be able to separate yourself from the competition and really having those stats that show how efficient you are as a player, I think that goes a long way with a lot of these international jobs. Obviously, you know, there's not as many, you know, 6'8", 6'9" players as they are, you know, 6 foot and under guards. So, you know, your competition pool is a lot larger if you are a guard. So you really have to do more to separate yourself from the competition, just because you have a larger pool of players to compete with for the same jobs.
And I kind of want to end with close to what you were saying here. Any player who's listening right now, there's obviously so many players around the world fighting for little positions or a small number of positions. What would you tell any athlete listening now that they should do and can do to separate themselves from any other competitor out there?
Yeah, great question. So I would say to separate themselves, definitely control what you can control. A lot of the time, you know, guys get caught up in, you know, what other guys are doing, what other guys are making, what other guys are saying that they're making, you know, really just locking and keying on being the best player that you possibly can be for your skill position. Like I said, for a guard, I would highly recommend striving to get to that 50-40-90 in efficiency in terms of being able to really lock in and get your stats to where they need to be, so that you do attract the eyes of international scouts and also international teams. If you're a big man, you know, really lock in and be great at, you know, at a certain skill position. You know, whether you're an extremely great defender, teams look for that. You know, if you're an extremely great offensive player, teams look for that as well. So, and if you're both, you know, just be the best player that you can be for what you can contribute to a team. So, you know, and if you're a knockdown shooter, you know, be the best, you know, skilled player at that position, because teams are always looking for specialists at different positions. You know, I get tons of inquiries for, you know, teams looking for, you know, certain positions and with that have tangible skills. Sometimes teams want a great playmaker, sometimes teams want a great shooter. You can't be everything, so just really locking and keying on being, like I said, the best player that you possibly can be at your position, and the rest will take care of itself.
All right, so just to finalize here, what would you say, or what, obviously you talk to them more than any of us, but what could you say to the leagues out there around the world about the talent in the TBL right now?
I think that the TBL is definitely an underrated, you know, league where you can definitely find and source some extremely great talent. You know, for one reason or another, some of the players in the league have been overlooked. you know, some players may need one more additional year from playing collegiately to really groom and really develop and blossom. And the TBL is providing that platform for these players. So you can definitely find, you know, high level players that would help your team, you know, really take it to the next level. If you key in and find the right players in that league.
Awesome. We appreciate it a whole lot. We got so many other questions, but we're gonna stop for now, and maybe we'll talk at a different time and add to it a little bit. But thank you very much. We very much appreciate it. We're excited to see the league, and I'm excited. Fans are gonna excited to watch. I'm excited to see where you get the guys. I want to see where they end up. That's what I'm excited for, just like David and everybody else. So we appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Likewise. Thank you for your time as well. I enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you. I love the episodes when I can just pose questions and just stop talking and let them go, because they have so much information to give. That's exactly what we got in this episode. So thank you, Daniel, for all of that. And as you heard at the end, I still had a bunch of questions left, but we really got it. We're trying to watch the time, trying to get more of a structure on time. And so it also leaves us to be able to bring back Daniel later. So if you enjoyed the episode and you think you want to hear more from Daniel later, make sure you let us know, and we will do our very best to have him back. It's also timely that we have Daniel this week, because the basketball league has started. It is beginning. As this is being posted, it's wrapping up week one of their third season. So we have been watching that. As we said, we work with a lot of leagues, but there are some we've connected with more, as you can probably tell, and one of those for us is the basketball league. So they're starting up, and it's fun to watch that. And so if you're interested, keep an eye. If you're a player, I also honestly advise you to watch, because what you should be watching is not only the talent level, which, by the way, with the talent level, I encourage you to nitpick, because everybody inside the basketball league that I've talked with, which is everybody up there, including owners, the commissioner, the president, and the CEO, all of them will rank TBL third in talent, going NBA, obviously, G League, and TBL in the United States. Watch that. See if you agree. You can find it on Sportscaster. That's Sportscaster. You can find that on, it's a website, or you can get the app, and you can watch all the games for the basketball league. I want you to watch. I encourage you to watch. I encourage our listeners to watch, and speak for yourself. Do you think that they're the, do you think we can rank them third as far as talent? That's important, because if we as a whole, as a basketball community or as a sports community, have a label on them as far as talent, then outside the United States starts to look and decide, is the basketball league for real? Is the talent there for real? And if they decide it is, or if they decide that it isn't, it's going to affect the players in the league. So for example, if we as a whole here watch and we say, you know what, I think third place is accurate. I think they are third place material as far as talent in the United States. If we continue to believe that and push that idea, because we've seen it and we've nitpicked it and we agree with that, that'll spread overseas. And those leagues will say, you know what, these players are playing in a league that's like the third best in the United States. That's really good. Third best in the country that leads in basketball in general. That's pretty good. That's really good. So maybe we should be looking at some of those players. Then bringing more players from the basketball league overseas to get their experience overseas, which is what the basketball league claims is their goal, being a showcase league. Now, the same is true if we don't agree. If we as a whole watch and nitpick and go, this is not third best, or even if it is third best, it's only because there's really no other third place. If that's what we decide, we as a whole need to decide that as well and vocalize that as well. And if we do that, the same effect will happen, except in the opposite. Overseas will go, well, they play at the basketball league, but the basketball league is, whatever, it's not really anything that we need to recruit players from. There are other options, and we really shouldn't waste our time. We have the opportunity as fans and fans of sports and basketball, and maybe if you're like me, fans of developing leagues or overlooked leagues, to decide where this talent actually falls in the basketball league. And that's why we bring in Daniel.
so he can tell us what he thinks as the lead agent of the entire league. And as he continues to communicate with teams overseas and is going to be our lead guy that I'm going to be reaching out to constantly to see, you know, where's the next guy going? Or when somebody gets a deal playing somewhere, wherever, getting Daniel's word on it and seeing what he thinks. What brought them over? What brought the international team to reach out to the basketball league? How did they hear about him? How does that international team or that international league or view TBL? TBL has made some claims and they're a little bit different. So we're going to watch it and nitpick. And I hope you nitpick it with me. Me and my team have already been watching and we're going to continue to do that. And I hope you do the same thing. I've had a lot of TBL people on here, but I hope you know that me and my team will be nitpicking just like I hope you are. They've made some claims that they're the third best and they do some other things. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I might think it's right. I might think it's wrong. I hope you make your decision for yourself and vocalize your decision for yourself. Best place to do that? Tweet at Globally Ballin' on Twitter or reach out to us on Instagram. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening and getting through the episode. We appreciate it. Next week, plan on being basketball again, not TBL. It'll be a different league, different look. It's going to be just a little bit different. So tune in next week. Be sure you're listening for next week. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Daniel, for your time. And you'll hear from us again very soon. Thank you all for making it through another episode. A couple things I got a quick run through and then we'll be done. First, if you haven't already, go ahead and follow us on our different key platforms. First, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin. Also, Instagram at globallyballinofficial, and then Twitter at globallyballin. The Instagram and Twitter are by far our most active, and they're also very different content. They're actually run by different people. So go ahead and make sure you're following both of those, and they'll also both alert you for when something new is posted either in the podcast or Patreon, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. Also, when it comes to the Facebook account seems less active, and we're aware of that. It's different kind of content and more is coming to the Facebook page, so you'll want to like it to make sure you're ready when a new wave of different content, which is coming soon, starts to make its way on there, which is exciting. Finally, though, is the Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com and then you search Globally Ballin', you're going to find our account. $3 a month, and with that, you're going to get a couple of things. First, shout out to all the supporters, which is great, which is actually also really good for any of you athletes out there. It's a great way to get your name, your brand, your place where people can find your highlight tapes, all that stuff. That'll be plugged in our episodes, which is great. So if you become a patron for the $3 a month, you'll get that. In addition, though, what we're really kind of excited about, not that we're not excited about the other one, is that you're going to get a bunch of extra content. It's going to be different from when I originally recorded this to when you're listening to this now. We're going to keep adding to it. There's a lot of different stuff. It might just be extra stuff that didn't fit into an episode. And there's also a whole new different kind of content called Candid Conversations, which is basically a whole new show that we started. As the name suggests, it's a conversation between me and somebody else. For whatever reason, it doesn't fit into an episode. And if you go check out one of those Candid Conversations, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So that $3 a month, you're going to get your shout out and your help to support your brand or get attention to your highlight reel or whatever, plus a lot of extra detailed fun content in addition to this free podcast. So go and check that out. Refresher, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin, Instagram at globallyballinofficial, Twitter at globallyballin, and Patreon, patreon.com, search Globally Ballin, and you'll find, do the $3 a month patron if you're interested and get all new content, a bunch of additional content. If that's not for you, totally fine. We still really appreciate you supporting and listening. If you have any suggestions, make sure you send us a message. Again, because we're most active on Instagram and Twitter, that's the best way to send us a suggestion. We'd be happy to listen and try to get anybody in that area and that sport, that country, that topic that'll help you best. So make sure you send us one of those requests. Otherwise, thank you again for listening. You'll hear from us again next week.